Hello, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. This week we're talking about understanding the four-day work week. I've seen a lot of news stories about a lot of companies trialing it, so if you wanted to get your head around what it really means, this is a great place to start. Have a magical week. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast. Thanks for joining us this week. I am back, but I wanted to quickly start off by saying thank you to Graham last week. Great job as a host. That was awesome. So great work, and I hope everyone enjoyed that conversation last week. Sorry I couldn't be there. Yeah, no worries. So this week we're going to be talking about a hot topic that I've seen in a lot of places called understanding the four-day work week. But before we get to that, let's check in with who's on the call today. So we'll start with our host from last week. Graham, how are you going this week?
I'm good, Jess. Thank you for asking. We're home. It's Friday, so that's automatically exciting because there's only three more sleeps until Monday. I wanted to share the appreciation for last week's podcast success with everybody else, because I think it was definitely a team job. I was pretty awesome, actually. Yeah.
Oh, you were.
Thank you, John. Thank you. I'm good, mate. I'm good. Thanks.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, well, great job, and great job to everyone. John's looking a little bit dismayed, so I'll throw to him. John, how are you going this week?
Oh, look, I'll be glad when today's over, or this week's over, but I was telling Graham and Danette during the week, I actually listened to a couple of the podcasts last weekend. I went for a walk, and two things sort of struck me. That one of them was some of the answers I was nodding to, going, yeah, I could do something with that, not realising that I was part of the podcast at the time as well. It was like, and then I spoke and I went, oh, shit, is that real? Is that actually, can I say that? But fortunately, Spotify and using Anchor allows us to do these things, does it not, Jez?
It does. It does.
And the other thing that struck me was we actually have fun doing this. Like the interplay between us all is in the banter is good. So yeah, it's a good group. It's enjoyable.
And John, I think you're not even touching on the fact that you've gotten so good at podcasting, you've slipped in a free ad for Anchor there. They're going to be happy at Spotify with us. That might get us a few more listens, so that's just extra skill that you've got there. So thanks for that, John. And yeah, that's a perfect way to listen to it and take away from it. I love it. I also do the same thing. I always listen back and go, wow, that's a good idea. I should do that. So thanks for that. And Danette, how are you going today?
Yeah, good, Jess. We've had a good week. We've been in Canberra and then back home. We even got our first spa of the winter last night and got to see some planes and things, satellites going overhead because the clouds parted and we got some stars, which was awesome.
Can I just clarify one point? It's actually the second spa of the winter. The first one was a disaster.
Oh, that's true.
Somebody hadn't turned the heater up enough. So. It was and can I say a tepid spa in winter? Interesting experience.
That's what we call a disaster, I believe. It's the official term. Yeah.
Anyway, I love your sparkling wit.
Oh, we can edit both those out in thanks to Anchor.
And the other thing I was going to say is this weekend we've got some friends coming down for a pasta making weekend, so we're going to be eating homemade pasta. And the other lovely thing about this past week is we got to catch up with John for dinner, so it was so nice to see John in person. So that was awesome too. How was your week, Jess?
Awesome. Yeah, that does sound really nice. Yeah, this week has been, for those watching it, the video, you'll see behind me packing boxes and a new background. It's because I've just moved into a new house, so it's been just pretty full on doing that. And also just been picking up a lot of extra work, so it's just been a full-on week. But this is exciting, and we're at the new place, and so, yeah, you'll get to see this new location next week, and you'll see hopefully it a bit cleaner if I get some free time, so fingers crossed on that one. But anyway, before we get into our topic as well, we have to jump into our segment, which is the ML recommendation. All right. Anyway, so this week, our ML recommendation comes from Graham. So, Graham, what have you got for us this week?
I wanted to share really quickly, and for those of you who are on video, a book called Karma, written by Sadhguru. Wow. I had no idea. As it turns out, absolutely no idea what karma is or was. Is probably a better way of saying it. It's a fairly dense book. It took me a number of attempts to get through it, but it's absolutely worth a read. Some really quick takeaways, if I can. Karma in Western society is often sort of represented as this like balancing act between good and bad. And if you're bad, then karma's going to come back and bite you on the backside at some point. Turns out all of that is just nonsense. It's just not true at all. Karma, so he in the book, he talks about karma is an accumulation of our thoughts and actions, basically. So we live our karma. We are essentially our karma based on what we think, what we do throughout our life. It's another way of thinking it is it's like unconscious software that runs our life. The practice of yoga, as it turns out, is in part about releasing our karma, our accumulated karma. So part of the path towards enlightenment is being able to let go of all of your karma at some point. Anyway, it's an amazing read, and certainly opened my eyes hugely to what is and what is not karma. And if you are interested in, and again, you know, spirituality, awareness, becoming a better version of yourself, then buy the book.
Awesome. That sounds really good, Graham. Thanks for that.
Pleasure.
And I love that we've had a sort of different approach each week. So this is totally a fun one, and something that when you were saying, it just feels like a balancing act, or that's what it's portrayed as. And this is it's a totally different thing. That's awesome. So I'm excited to take a look and see what that is.
The book's coming your way on Tuesday.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. Kaneka also wanted to read it, so you guys awesome. Can share.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for that, Graham. And that was pleasure. That was our ML recommendation. Awesome. All right. So let's jump into the topic this week. So we've done something similar to this before, but I've seen that this is a bit of a newsworthy story because a lot of companies are trying out the 4-day work week. Now, just to explain this for people that are wondering what that is. So a 4-day work week, in this case, is you're getting 100% of your pay for 4 days of work. Now, if you're listening to that and going, that doesn't make any sense and that sounds awesome, the idea is that you're going to complete 100% of the work that you would do in 5 days in 4 days. Now, this is being run as an experiment and it's been organized by Cambridge, Oxford, and Boston College. They're doing a mass experiment at the moment. They've selected a couple of different industries and a couple of different companies within those just to test it out and see how it goes. So it's a bit experimental at the moment, but just to give you an idea, so in the UK, they're running it with everything from a fish and chip shop to a software company to an asset management company to a charity bank. So all of them are trying it out. Australian industries that are trying it are some marketing and comms, health and well-being, and some technology stuff. So it's kind of interesting. But as we've said before, we've talked about this a little bit before, and I'll link that podcast in this one. But I thought this is a good opportunity to refresh if people are wondering about it and wondering what the 4-day work week is and some of the benefits. This might be a great place to just sort of summarize that all. So I might start with Danette here. What is making people want a 4-day work week?
So I think COVID's opened our mind up to, you know, different types of work. And I think one of the things it's highlighted is that work-life balance is super important. And so, you know, lots of people have got kids, they've got parent responsibilities, as in they might be looking after their parents or have carer responsibilities. And so to be able to work for 4 days and then have a 3-day long weekend every weekend just frees up time to get a little bit more of that work-life balance. And also allows people to have other interests, to be able to do stuff that maybe doesn't seem like it relates to the work, but actually, you know, might spark some creativity, which they can bring back into the workplace. So there are two benefits, and I'm going to leave some to for John and Graham. I can see a lot of benefits in this approach. Thanks, Jez.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. And I love that tying it to the COVID thing that's just happened the last couple of years. So that's a great point. Thanks, Danette. John, I might go to you. What's making people want a 4-day work week?
Well, I guess the question I had when seeing the topic and not realising you were linking it to the UK studies, but is it a 4-day, 4 8-hour days, or is it 4 10-hour days to make your 40 hours? Because we've got to remember that the 5-day work week, that was sort of an industrial revolution change. Before that, it was 6 days with a day, you know, a day of rest or a day of church or, you know. So the 5-day work week's only been around for over 100 years. And people, are, I agree with Danette, it's that work-life balance. But there have been studies, other studies as well. So Iceland did a study from 2015 to 2019. Japan, Spain, Scotland, UAE, California, they're all, you know, trialing it or playing around with this. So there's some merit more than just the UK. You know, all over the world, people are coming at this and going, yeah, can we get a better balance? And when you think that, you know, from my parents, when I was a kid, you had dad go to work and mum stayed at home and mum looked after the house and did all the chores around the house. Nowadays, it's, you know, double income. So when do you do all the chores around the house? And if that's on a weekend and you've got kids, well, then you're running around kids for sport. You know, you're doing your grocery shopping. When do you actually have time to rest and relax, you know, or go to church as they used to do? It's so, you know, there is a big push because our lives have changed from, you know, when it was rolled out back in the US, it became law in 1939 to do a 5-day work week. In Australia, it was 1948. So, you know, it's already a preconceived idea of 5-day work week. Why the hell not?
Yeah, I love that, John, and I love that you got the extra little resources and stuff in there, the other countries that have tried it. Loved that. That was awesome. Thanks, John. Graham, I'll throw it to you. What is making people want a 4-day work week?
I think they're just lazy. Just get off your backside, people. Come on. I didn't mean that. If I've upset anybody, I apologise profusely. You know, one of the things that stuck out for me in this context, that's going to come back to bite me, what's making people want a 4-day work week? I think one of the things that stood out for me, and this goes back to both John and Danette's points about things like COVID and the great resignation that's been talked about for the last 12, 18 months or so in places like the US. So I think one of the things that's happened because of COVID, and I still find it really interesting that we talk about work-life balance and not the other way around. So work is still, you know, it's first and then life is second. And we really should be looking at life first and then work second. And I think one of the things that's happened because of COVID, so many people have been forced to shift to not working in office, but working from home. And this doesn't apply to everybody, but certainly a lot of people out there. So they have had a very different experience for the last couple of years in terms of what's possible. And suddenly we're realizing that, hey, I can actually work from home. I can do the same number of hours, but I can work from home in my jammies. We did some work with a client in Canberra last week. And one of the participants, we were talking about, working remotely and doing Zoom calls or Teams calls, et cetera. And we were talking about the benefit of having your video on when you're connecting with other people in your team. And this person said, yeah, I don't turn my video on because I normally connect to meetings in the morning and I'm still in my pajamas and I haven't done my hair. So I just leave my video. So, you know, it shifted fundamentally what we believe is possible, because a couple of years ago, the possibility of staying home in your jammies and not doing your hair, the only way you could do that is if you took time off or you chucked a sickie. For people not familiar with Australian vernacular, that is taking a mental health day. Let's just leave it there. So I think one of the things that people are now considering, employees now have a much stronger voice, and I think they're now much more aware that they actually have a voice. We're still sort of playing with the where that balance is between having a voice and demanding things that they're not necessarily going to get. So, for me, a lot of it, the people wanting a 4-day week, part of it is just recognizing that, yeah, work's not as important as I used to think it was. And now I actually believe I have some options that I didn't have before. So the idea of working fewer days during the week because I then get to spend more, as John said, I get to spend more time with the kids or more time on the chores because I'm not going flat out of work. I think all of that is starting to open people's eyes and thinking up to what else might be possible. Very long-winded answer, sorry.
No, that was awesome. That was really good. I think all three of those answers really put a really nice context around this whole conversation. So I hope people that are listening to that took away as much as I did. That was amazing. Thanks, everybody. Great first answer. Second question, I'll stay with you for this one, Graham. What are some negatives of a five-day work week?
Well, again, if I can pinch John's response before, some of them are that you just don't have a lot of time to do the other things that don't relate to your work. One of the big challenges, and I don't think it really matters as much in terms of how many days a week we work, it's more the hours. So, you know, as John pointed out, if we're going to a four-day work week, are we then increasing the number of hours we work in a day so that at the end of the week, we're still doing 40 hours? The negatives of the five-day work week at the moment for a lot of organisations are that people are working longer. And apparently, I remember reading something a month or so ago, the work week is longer today than it was 100 years ago, which is bizarre when you think about it, because we've got all of this technology that theoretically was going to make our lives easier, and that hasn't happened. So I think the negatives, all of the stuff that we've seen, partly because of COVID, but COVID has just masked a lot of issues that were there for a long, long time before the pandemic. Stress, burnout, relationship issues, poor work quality, poor sleep, all of the health benefits associated with all of that. We've been experiencing that as human beings for a long, long time. So shifting to a four-day work week doesn't necessarily fix it. But I think we need to look more at how many hours a week are we working, maybe.
Love that. Thanks, Graham. Great answer. John, I'll throw it to you now. What are some negatives of a five-day work week?
Well, I was going to go down the same path as Graham, that, you know, I'm paid as a contractor to do 8 hours a day. Now, I know I do more than 8 hours in my workplace just to get things done. So the amount of time you spend at work over 5 days is a lot more than what you're probably getting paid for most people. Now, I know swings and roundabouts and all the rest of it. So, and then when you think that you've got to travel to work, there's another 20 minutes, half an hour, for some people 2 hours that you're adding just to get to work, and then you've got to travel the same distance home. You know, that's a huge amount of time on you, you know, out of your life that you stay away from family. And you spend more time here at work than you do with your family, because, or engaged with your family, because by the time you get home, if you've got kids, and young kids, they're probably going to bed early, and you're sitting up, and then you're asleep, and then do you get to see them in the morning? So the more time that we can spend away from, you know, away from a five-day work week, I think isn't a bad thing, especially if you're going to get paid for it.
Awesome. Yeah, love that, John. Love that angle as well. That was perfect. Thanks so much. Danette, I'll throw to you. What are some negatives of a five-day work week?
So there's a bias, and I can't remember the name, but it basically is we assume that the amount of time people are at work, so increasing that equals greater productivity. But the stats and the studies show clearly that that's not the case. So I think it's part of it is even that conversation of, you know, is it about hours? Is it about output? And obviously, some industries, it is about hours because, you know, you might be in customer service where you need to be, say, in a supermarket and serving people. And a lot of jobs now are all about, you know, using our brain, coming up with stuff that's creative, et cetera. And working longer and harder, we don't do our productivity going up. We actually, the longer we go on, it goes down. So I think having that 5 days a week and assuming that that means we're going to get greater productivity, not necessarily. The other thing is, and I was reading an article around this, and it was talking about, well, if everyone in the team works the same 4 days, and say we were working in the office together, obviously, that lowers the carbon footprint. So the more days we're in the office, the greater our carbon footprint. And so from a sustainability perspective, that's also something to think about. And if you are an employer that, you know, needs people 7 days a week and maybe 24/7, maybe it's an opportunity to bring more people into the workplace. So, you know, we've got a lot of people who are unemployed or underemployed. Maybe it's an opportunity to make things a little bit easier as well, because many workplaces I've worked in, people who work part-time are seen as not as committed as full-time workers. So this allows a little bit more of that equal opportunity because, you know, the expectation is, you know, 5 days a week, we expect you to be there. And if you're not there 5 days a week, then you're not committed. When we start to look at different ways of working, like 4 days a week, that makes it easier for women and carers, not just women, because there's many people who raise children, look after parents, etc., that it might make them easier to be able to work in the workplace and balance their life.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. Great, great perspectives again, everybody. I feel like this is such a good podcast. I'm loving it. It's also good because I feel like in this one also I'm learning a little bit more even from the other podcast that we did about understanding different ways to work and stuff like that. There's so much more that I'm even learning from this one. So thanks very much. Great work, everybody. Let's jump into our third question here, which is what are some benefits of trying a 4-day work week? And I'll start with you, Danette. My bad.
So I sort of covered a couple in the last one. So it does allow for a little bit more equality because it's sort of leveling from 5 days to 4 days. So that gives more people opportunities to balance their work and their life. So it gives more opportunities for people to come into the workplace potentially. Obviously lowering our carbon footprint if we're all working in the same place. And we just see that with it, you know, increased productivity, employee satisfaction, etc. So there for me are all really good benefits of it. And I think happier people just create a better world. There's nothing worse than people going in on Monday going, oh, is it Friday yet? Because they're just hanging out for that Friday. So maybe it gives people the opportunity to find more of what they love so that they can perhaps do that part-time, or maybe it becomes a career later on. So I just think it helps us bring out the best in everyone.
Mm. Love that.
Thanks, Jez.
Thanks. That's all right. Thanks, Danette. That was awesome. John, I'll throw it to you now. What are some benefits of trying a 4-day work week?
Well, I think it's like anything. I mean, give it a go. What do you got to lose? You know, and I go back to where I started, that a 5-day work week was an industrial revolution change, turn of the century, 1900s. And a lot has changed over those 100 years that we've since then. Yeah, back then, you know, there's knowledge was doubling every century. Back in the turn of the 1900s, end of World War II, it was doubling every 25 years. And now they reckon that your knowledge is doubling every 13 months. So a hell of a lot has changed since we introduced a 5-day work week. And I think it's worthwhile having a look at and going, what do we need now as a population? And as I said, mums and dads, dad go to work, mum would stay at home and rear the kids and look after the house. Double income kids, double income families now, or double income no kids, you know, again, that has changed. We didn't have computers back at 1900. We've got computers now, so we can automate a lot of things and we can do things remotely and online. Do we need to be travelling to an office? So, look, the whole workplace has changed dramatically over the years. Let's have a look at, are we going to be more productive by doing a 4-day week as opposed to a 5-day week? Let's have a look at it. Let's see where it lands. And, you know, in 100 years' time, we may be having the conversation, do we need a 3-day week?
Love it. Yeah, thanks for that, John.
The short answer to that question, John, is yes.
I think it's actually a 2-day week.
Do I hear 1.5?
You got me at 1.
Sold.
Do I have to get out of bed?
You had me at 1.
Awesome. Well, on that, Graham, I might just throw to you here. What are some benefits of trying a 4-day work week?
I love John's, let's just give it a go. I think there's one of the benefits is let's just try it because what we're doing at the moment isn't necessarily working. I also want to go back to Danette's comment about happier people. And it reminded me, a word association game going into my head, power versus force. David Hawkins' book from years ago, where he talks about the energy that we vibrate at as human beings. And what planet Earth would look like if, you know, half of the population were impressively happy most of the time. It'd be just, it would be absolutely phenomenal. So, yeah, on an individual level, some of the benefits, and again, it's not so much the four-day thing, I think, as maybe looking at how many hours are working, and probably more importantly than that, is the work meaningful? Sweden, some of the Scandinavian countries just seem to be so much further ahead in some respects. So they apparently went to a six-hour work day and productivity improved. And I think that's not surprising at all. So you know, the benefits are not necessarily endless, but I think there are, and look, realistically, at the end of the day, in capitalism, capitalist societies, we just need to find a profit imperative. So I think once big business understands how this can work and they can still make money or more importantly make more money, it'll happen overnight. That's the big sticking point at the end of the day. But I think the benefits are, yeah, if we spend less time at work and we spend more time with the people that we care about, and that makes us happier, more positive, then we're more generous, we're more caring. Yeah, it's a win-win all around.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for that, Graham. It's just some things that have kind of sparked for me just quickly while you've been talking is that I think that with how flexible ML's work hours can be, that's actually what allowed us to even start this podcast, because it gave me more time to look at how programs work, and I was always into podcasts. So now we've ended up with this. So that's a positive out of it, you know, which is kind of cool. But I did also want to mention, I used to work for another company that did try a 4-day work week back in like 2016 or something. But it didn't work for them. So it's not going to work for every company. They needed stuff done just more daily. But at the end of the day, it is something that I think, you know, at least they tried it. They gave it a 3-month go and it was like, it wasn't for us, but it can work for other companies as well. So yeah, just a bit of a mixed bag. But anyway, Graham, let's grab your final thoughts on understanding the 4-day work week.
I think it's inevitable. John and Danette, I think, both made some great points around, you know, we're heading in that direction. Let's just make it happen a little faster. It won't be perfect to start with, and who cares? Nothing ever is. And if we start having more conversations around life-work balance, that's where we should start. And again, I don't think it's the number of days as much as it is the number of hours, as much as it is, are you doing stuff that has meaning for you in terms of the work you do? Mm. Thanks, Jess.
Love that. Thanks, Graham. Great, great response. John, final thoughts on understanding the 4-day work week.
I think 100 years ago when they were discussing the 5-day work week, they were having the same conversations. But no one alive then is alive now to go, lesson learned was, so we're going to repeat this pattern. Look, I think I'm with Graham. I think it's inevitable, and I think there's some positives in it, and positives for families.
Mm, yeah, I love that. Yeah, love that perspective. Thanks for that, John. And Danette, final thoughts on understanding the 4-day work week.
Yeah, love this conversation. And to your point, Jez, around, you know, we wouldn't have had this podcast without our sort of flexible working arrangements. Again, coming back to our brain comes up with best ideas, not when we're under pressure and working really hard. It's when we're in the breaks, when we're with family, when we're just relaxing. And so given the world is moving more to, we want team members who are creative, innovative, they need space. And space doesn't happen when you're at work under the pump. So having that extra day a week to be able to just hang out with family members or do whatever you love to do really does allow for people's brains to work more effectively. And I think employers, and we certainly have seen this, will get way more benefit out of that than they really actually realise. So for me, I think it's really important. And, you know, yesterday we ran a workshop and everyone was exhausted. They were working enormous hours. And it was really, like, really sad because, one, when you're in that space, you can't see a way out. Whereas when you've got, you know, here's my week, here's my 3 days at the end of that week to be able to come back and do fun things, relax, do the family things, etc., maybe even cleaning. Notice my face. then I think that's a win-win, not just for the organisation, I think for communities, because people have more time to volunteer, et cetera. And I think, as Graham said, you know, it makes people happier people, nicer people, we're kinder, we're more compassionate. And I wish we could go back 100 years and ask that question that John asked, because I bet there'd be some really good lessons in that as well. It's a great topic. Thank you, Jez. Thank you, John and Graham, too.
Yeah, thank you all so much. Great podcast. I loved this podcast. I learned so much. So I want to thank all of you. So Graham has actually suggested next week's topic, and I want to announce that now, because if you have any questions, you will be able to ask them on Spotify. So next week's topic is on experiencing awe. So if you have any questions about that, please send it through. Just jump on the Spotify app, find this podcast that you're listening to right now, and there'll be a little section that says questions, and you can put them in there. So hopefully we hear from you. We have been having a lot of listeners, so we've really enjoyed that. I want to thank everybody for being on the podcast today. Great, great episode. I want to thank John for that amazing anchor plug earlier. That's just podcasting skill right now. And I want to thank all of the people that were on today, Danette, John, and Graham. Great, great podcast. And to everybody at home, have a magical week.
Thanks, Jez. Thanks, John. Thanks, Graham.
Thanks, John. Great stuff.